Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, where truth is our bitch, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We've got David G. Hall hanging on the line as a result of a bit we did last night. So that's always a great way to start the show when you have your partner and vice president of syndication hanging on, ready to rip you an ass over something. You don't know. Yeah, I do know. Right, bud?
Yeah, talk about a golden triangle.
Golden triangle? Does that ring a bell?
I don't know.
We were just talking before the show that broadcasting, like any business, you know, any career that you have, is a jealous mistress. A jealous mistress. You know, you've heard that term. If you're really devoted to your radio career, you're devoted to what you do for a living. It's a jealous mistress. Well, if radio is a jealous mistress, my career is a jealous mistress. I got my face planted in that golden triangle.
Yay.
Thank you. All right. Let's just see how far I dug that hole. David G. Hall on the line with us here. David, what's up?
I think it was a funny line, Phil, to the extent that your audience likes that kind of stuff.
Can you get closer to the phone, please?
I think it was a funny line, but I think the Golden Triangle material last night probably set your radio show and your efforts at syndication back.
And how is that?
Well, Phil, you know, you can be flip if you want.
No, I'm not being flip, but starting the show with a call from one of the suits, excuse me for saying that, is not always the optimum way. So tell me what happened.
What happened was I got some phone calls from people. They don't like the idea of turning their radio on and listening to you talking to some kid, some 15-year-old kid.
17, but okay.
Well, you know what, Phil? Was the kid underage?
Yes, he was.
All right. 17-year-old kid talking about him figuring out what size his face is so he can stick it into something called a golden triangle. Now, I only got this stuff secondhand.
And let me ask you who you got it from.
That, you know, Phil, it's not important.
Yeah. Who did you get it from?
I got it from a young lady.
From your girlfriend?
You know something? You are very flip with another man's personal life.
Well, if your personal life is informing on me, I'd like to know, who'd you get it from?
I got it from Daphne. Honey, be quiet. I got it from Daphne.
Well, I just heard her there, and I'm wondering, were you able to understand her? Because the last time she talked, she had a mouthful of cream-filled eclairs or something.
You know, that's very, very rude. I got it from Daphne, who was listening. She likes your show. Would you please? What? All right, I got to pull over. She wants to use the...
Are you ever doing anything other than driving around town with her looking for another donut shop?
You know something, forget it.
Do you do that on purpose?
Do what on purpose?
Insult to get them to hang up?
Let me explain a little something to you, Margaret.
Okay, I got to sit down, ladies and gentlemen. Daddy's going to give me a lecture.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Daddy's giving... I'm going to explain something to you. The guy wants to start the show calling me up and telling me about what I did wrong, the golden triangle, whatever. Then he tells me the reason why is because Daphne, with a face full of crueler, was listening to the show, and when he tries to talk to her, I'm hearing... You know,
I can't understand that thing she's saying.
Yes, he's all like...
You know, Bud, when you look at me and make the sounds of someone gagging, I know exactly what's going through your mind, and I'm...
Watch it.
I won't. I'm not going to put up with it.
He doesn't mean anything like that.
I'm not talking about that.
He's looking me up and down and going... Grr. Now, let me say something right here, Phil.
I'm not done, okay? I'm just telling you that if he wants to start the show breaking my castanets, as they say, telling me about Daphne having her face filled with a chocolate eclair or whatever, and she heard something, and she's not sure, and this is that, and that's this, and forevermore, then I'm going to get in a couple of shots. And if he's too small to listen to what I'm saying and he hangs up, that's his life, not mine, okay? The floor is yours.
Never mind.
Margaret, I don't think you're going to get any sympathy that way.
Never mind. I'm not going to be bullied, thank you.
I'm really bullying you. You're the one you bullied me.
How did I bully you?
By saying I sound like I'm gagging up on something.
No, you looked at me as if I'm familiar with gagging. I don't...
You know what? The problem is, the more you talk about this, the worse it gets. Anyway, welcome to the program, folks. Let's just blow past all of this stuff. Phil Henry Show, our number is 855-500-7445. The way you look at me... It's as if I'm familiar with gagging.
That's exactly the way he was looking at me.
Didn't I?
I don't think he did. Lloyd Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing guy from Alhambra. There's something about being a retired heating and plumbing guy from Alhambra, which, by the way, Alhambra Some of you may, that may ring a bell with you. Yes, you're right. That is the city wherein in which Phil Spector resided. Not particularly a Hollywood-type town. It was very interesting when I first became aware of the Phil Spector story that he had a mansion in Alhambra, California. It's a suburb of Los Angeles. It's kind of east of the city. It's south of where I grew up. It's very, very middle class, extremely old-school suburbia America in a lot of ways. But in the midst of that, it was this mansion that Phil Spector lived in, and I suppose it was because maybe he got the property at a bargain basement price. Maybe he just didn't like the Hollywood thing. But Lloyd is not a Hollywood guy. Lloyd is a hardworking guy, a guy who has been on our program before, a Korean War vet, and he joins us online here from Alhambra, California, on the Phil Henry Show. By the way, we are online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video of our show up right now.
And what is that? That's...
That is just a old, just some stock footage from the movies that we have running behind us. It's like some street scene from 1940s L.A. All right. Mr. Bonafide, sir.
Yes, good evening.
Good. How are you?
Yes, very good.
And Mr. Bonafide, you saw an article in the paper today having to do with the terrible snowstorms in Colorado, and the two hikers were stranded near the top of Colorado Peak and made their way down.
Yes, I saw the article about these two people, and I mentioned to my wife that, you know, enough is enough, and that at this point I would have to go and talk to some members of the media. Now, I had been in contact with Art Tudell, who is a writer with the local Alhambra paper, and I've been in touch with a few other people.
And with regard to what?
Well, with regard to an incident that I had been involved in the San Gabriel Mountains here about the late 1980s, 1988. And I was up there with friends. I had separated at the time from my wife, and I can tell you, Mr. Henry, we're old-fashioned people. When you separate from your spouse, you are... It was a difficult time for me, but I was had spent the time going into the mountains with the friends of mine, fly fishing, and staying at a cabin there. And it was in the middle of the night one night as we were sitting around the fire that we'd made near Royco Stream, which is up there in the mountains, one of the individuals I was with, somehow a fire got started in the brush around our campsite. It was something that I did not recognize immediately, and nor did he. It got to be blazing.
Now, what do you mean blazing?
Well, the fire had gotten out of control around our campsite. And I had seen it, and I had remarked to Jim, who was the other man that was with us, along with Dennis. I said that fire is quite large, and I said that I think we need to put that fire out.
Well, how large was it?
It was blazing, and it was encroaching on the campsite, and it looked to me as if it was going to begin to engulf some of the tree line.
And you noticed this fire when? When it was out of control?
I want to mention to you that the reason why the fire started was because of a cigarette that had been thrown into the brush. It was not a cigarette, it was a marijuana, which had been smoked by myself and the other men. And the reason I've talked to our pastor at the Alhambra Presbyterian, which is where my wife and I recommitted ourselves when I knew our marriage was on the rocks, I would not lie.
You were smoking marijuana?
Along with these other gentlemen, and the marijuana stub or the cigarette stub was in the brush. The fire started. I'm so very sorry.
And the fire got out of control.
It was not out of control, but it was quite extensive, and we only recognized the extent of the fire when we pulled ourselves from this hypnosis, I guess.
You were high.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to continue this story. It's very interesting. It's Mr. Lloyd Bonafide who partaked of... is he blaming the marijuana?
I think he's saying that because they had smoked this marijuana, they didn't recognize.
Yeah, they didn't recognize how big the fire was.
Didn't recognize how big the fire was. We're going to be back here with Lloyd Bonafide and the rest of his tale. There is a very, very interesting story in the news today concerning a couple that descended a peak in Colorado in the midst of this storm and made it down safely. And so often you hear these stories where people are not really making it down safely, where people are stranded, where people are, well, they're having a hard time surviving. And gosh knows we've got enough of those stories. This is one of success. Mr. Bonafide telling us a story of his own travails, only having to do with fire, not snow. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And PhilHenryShow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What, bud?
What is that?
Well, that is like, that's Morse code.
No, it's not Morse code. It's the Who.
Oh, yeah, that's a song. Yeah, Babda O'Reilly.
Babda O'Reilly.
Never mind what it is. It's the Phil Henry Show is what it is. Is that Morse code? Welcome back, folks. We have with us Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. We're talking with him about an incident in the San Gabriel Mountains. Now, the story, I don't want to just get to this story here, Lloyd, if I could, because this sort of inspired your phone call. What was it about this? I want to ask you a question, sir. What was it about this story that made you want to call us?
Well, please understand, Mr. Henry, it's not just you that I called.
You called several other shows?
Yes, sir. I called the Bill Habender Show. Happened on the line, and I also called the Dennis Prager. I'm a very big listener of Dennis Prager. I love his reasoning and the things that he does. I enjoy so much.
Uh huh. And did you tell Mr. Prager and these others?
I did not. I mentioned they were talking about the survival of this young woman, and I wanted to. And my wife said, "Why don't you talk about when you put the fire out?" But I was concerned because of the possible repercussions.
I don't think you're going to get into any... You mean the use of marijuana?
Yes, sir.
I don't think you're going to have a problem. I don't think there's going to be any problem with that. You're talking about the late 1980s. Was there any loss of life?
No, sir, there was not.
All right. And was there significant damage to property?
Not that we could see. The fire was not out of control, but it was blazing and raging. The flames were very high, and I spent the better part of the night shoveling dirt, trying to stamp it out. Henninger and Wilson, the two men that I was with, had taken off to find help. They did not return until I had finally had this put out, and they'd had to go down the hill. They took the truck and went down the hill to try to find help.
Well, how far away is a ranger station when something like that's happening?
I don't understand. I think the ranger station is going to be a certain distance. It's not going to get any closer. What do you mean?
I mean, how far away was the ranger station?
I don't know. I think they had to go to the bottom of Cloister Hill to find the station. I thought you meant how, when something like that happens, does the ranger station move closer?
No, well, how is it going to do that?
They might be mobile.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. All right, so did they finally bring back help?
They brought back a man that had been hitchhiking. And when they came back, I asked them, where is the ranger? They said, well, and the fire was put out by then.
What time was this?
The sun was up. I have no way of knowing what time, but the sun had been up perhaps an hour.
Okay, so maybe 7 o'clock, something like that, or 6 o'clock. And there was no ranger with them.
No, there was this young man they'd picked up hitchhiking. And I said, where is the ranger? They said that they had gotten disoriented. And I could detect from the cab of the station wagon, because they took a loose station wagon, I could detect a very strong odor of marijuana at that time. And I then surmised that they had been smoking they've been smoking marijuana through the better part of the night and never did really go to the ranger station, and that was verified by this young man.
So you were in the middle of fighting a fire by yourself that was started by what you think was a stray marijuana roach or...
Yeah, the cigarette butt, yes, sir.
Okay. And these guys are supposed to go get help, but they never did. They picked up a hitchhiker, and you're told by the hitchhiker that they spent the rest of the night smoking marijuana in this guy's station wagon.
Yes, sir, that was my understanding, and that's when I threatened both of them. Because I had a 22 Beretta that I carry with me at all times in those days, and I've since stopped carrying that, and I threatened them both.
And how did you threaten them? With a gun?
With the gun. And I told them, the two of you take off. I said, you, all of you out there, take even the kid. And I would have nothing more to do with them. And I took Dennis's car and I drove home.
So you told these guys to take off on foot, and you took his car.
I took the man's car. The reason why I'm calling you, Phil, when I saw the article about these two people going down the Colorado mountain, they went down Colorado way, or they went down the Rocky Mountain. They were on top of the Rocky Mountain High, and they went down Colorado way, right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
He's talking about the story.
Oh, the two hikers.
Yes, sir, the two hikers. When they went down the hill, I said to my wife, enough is enough. And that's when I called Dennis Prager, Art Bombassa, Wilson and Jefferson, and the Stu Klieger report, that I called all of them to say, what about when I put out a fire single-handedly, I did not call the newspapers. I did not call the magazines. I didn't call the different places that you, the TV station and the radio stations. I didn't call any of them. And no one knew, because it wasn't about me to be a glory hog. And that's what these people are about now.
Well, now hold on for a minute, because when somebody is reported missing, you can't really say they're being a glory hog. You're basically saying it's a news report. A pair of hikers made it down one of Colorado's highest peaks on their own Friday after being stranded by an ice storm for 2 days.
Please slow down, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry.
Because you're going to pair of hikers every night, you know, it's difficult for an old man.
I understand, sir. I apologize. The Park Service had been trying to organize its latest efforts to rescue the Maine women from a 14,200-foot Long's Peak after bad weather defeated a helicopter rescue.
That says it right there, that these are two women that wanted to go the glory route. Now, you know.
I'm asking you to consider this, that these two women were missing, they were stranded or whatever, and the news picked up on it. They did not have anything to do with reporting their own story.
But the fact that they're women and the fact that they are on the Colorado Rocky Mountain High and the fact that they were from Maine and so forth, so, you know, I did not go to the media, is what I'm trying to say. Whether or not these women went themselves,
The women wet themselves?
No, I didn't say...
He did say wet themselves. He said went themselves.
Went themselves, not wet themselves. Who is speaking?
This is Margaret Gray, sir. I didn't understand what you said.
Well, you may remember, Miss Gray, you and I sang a duet during the Arafat.
Oh, I remember, you're Lloyd, and we sang Say You, Say Me.
That's right, Say You, Say Me.
I do remember, yes. And was that after this fire?
Oh, well after the fire. That was back before I recommitted myself to my Lord and Savior and my wife and my marriage. This was way back when I was I'd lost my way. I was living as a degenerate in the hills. I was scavenging for food. I was going into backyards and overturning garbage cans to see what they're...
You're kidding!
No, sir.
So this fire that got started as the result of you guys smoking marijuana or whatever...
Well, that as the result, it could have been a cigarette.
Well, yeah, but if you guys hadn't been stoned, you would have recognized right away what that fire... What did you think the fire was that was raging around you?
Well, I thought it was a fire, but you react slowly when you've been smoking... The cannabis, and you're what they call you tripping, you know.
Well, what are you doing? How old were you at that time?
I was in my late 50s. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But I saw the fire, but to me it was a manifestation of what I was worrying about internally, which was the fire of hell. for having left my wife, for having been...
All right, hold on, Lloyd.
For having not been a good man.
Hold on for just a minute. We're going to be back here.
Guys, I think that guy's cracked. If you want to have an honest opinion about it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bud. I'm sure that I appreciate the honest opinion. That's Lloyd Bonafide. We're going to be back here with him in a moment. What is his problem, anyway?
Well, he thinks that these ladies getting all this glory, and he didn't get no glory about putting out a fire.
He didn't get any glory about putting out the fire, and these women are getting all this glory for being what?
Stranded on a mountain.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com, Lloyd Bonafide, and you know, like that.
Just crack you. Get an honest opinion about it.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we talk here with Lloyd Bonafide. What do we got here, bud?
That's a letter to my baby.
The letter to my baby is an old Phil Henry Show bit. We may get to that or not.
Well, this is a different type of letter to my baby. For those of you that are listening, you may not be familiar. Phil used to do Letter to My Baby, in which the man has written a letter to a woman that they have they're no longer together. And he is lamenting the fact that, I don't want to use the word, you use it.
That her ass got too big.
Yes. He's saying, we could have done it all were it not for the fact... See, the thing that I didn't like, you did one, were it not for the fact that you had the spinach between your teeth.
Yeah, well, they went to a party.
No, I know, with Steven Spielberg. And I just found it in bad taste.
Well, the whole thing's in bad taste. In bad taste. You know,
well, I think this one that you're going to do tonight is a little bit more on target.
Well, the one tonight is going to have to do more with... Maybe I shouldn't do it. It has to do with infidelity. And the sexy guy that the woman meets. Or not, maybe not even sexy guy, just the guy that has grabbed her attention. And how... maybe it's more...
Could just do the interview. You know, you're really boring everyone now.
Yeah, better do it, Phil.
Well, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Ernie, start falling in love with your voice. Won't do that.
Yeah, why? When you start falling in love with your voice, you know.
Wait, hold on. Lloyd?
Can I just jump in, Phil?
Yes, sir.
I know what they mean. I've listened to you. You go, hey, you know, Phil Henry, and you sound like about 100 yards of ass.
Tell him I didn't hang up on him.
Captain Bonafide? Mr. Bone?
Name's not... Can we shut up? What are you talking about?
You're going, yeah, well, everybody. You talk about me getting lazy jaw, whatever you call it.
It's called sloppy jaw.
Well, I don't like the term sloppy jaw because that sounds... It sounds moist. It sounds wet.
All right, so what's the point here?
You talk to me like that.
What's the point, Mark? Is she leaving now?
Yeah, she's leaving.
Not out of the studio.
I'm going to take a dump there.
God, she just absolutely celebrates those, man. I'm telling you, it's nuts. All right, Lloyd, let's get back. I don't want to talk anything about whatever this... I'm in love with my voice.
Sir, I didn't mean to offend you, Mr. Henry, but there are times on your program when you go, hey, you know, and you try to sound like you've got about a 10... Well, you know, you've got a 10-inch long, and I won't say the word. Please don't hang up on me. I didn't want to say...
All right.
Yeah, but he didn't say the word.
Oh, you're right. He didn't say the word. Sir?
Oh, you ought to burn in hell, for I never said a bad word, and you hung up on me anyway.
Did I hang up on you, or did I put you on hold?
Oh.
So getting back to the story of the forest fire that you almost started because you were high on marijuana, and then your friends went down to find the...
You know, you can laugh all you want, but my point is very simply this. There are certain people that get the love of the press and are celebrated for their heroism and their great feats and their great works. And then there are those of us who do equally astounding things, in point of fact, in service to others, not in service to themselves, because what happened with those two mountain hikers or hitch climbers, the two ladies that were the hitch climbers.
Mountain climbers.
The mountain climbers. What happened to these two women was that they saved their own rear ends and nothing more and the whole world is supposed to drop and give them all praise to Allah. Excuse me for putting it that way. Now,
well, it's no, okay. What, bud?
Yeah, you blew my ear out, man. What's the level on the thing?
Yeah, what's the level? I'll watch the level. I'm sorry. Lloyd, look, no one, I don't think these women decided they'd get lost and then get found and so the world would love them. But if you're asking why people celebrate the rescue of other people, it's just one of those stories where life is supported over death, where the continuance of life wins and death is defeated for one more day. Don't you think that's the case?
Well, I think that all sounds very poetic. But keep in mind, Mr. Henry, that I'm a veteran of the Korean War, and I saw a lot of guys, and not all of them were Americans. I saw a lot of Chinese and North Koreans, and I saw South Koreans, and I saw them go down for the count. You know, the old song about go down, Moses, there was a song about going down, and it was a spiritual, so please don't think I'm being filthy. And
oh, I know. Now, go down dying? Is that it?
Go down dying? Well, how does that give anybody any inspiration?
I don't know what you're referring to, sir. Getting back to your story.
Yes, getting back to my story, the fire was contained and it was put out. I did it single-handedly, even though the flames were at one point 30 feet high. I remember standing back, and I was so tired that when I saw how high the flames were leaping, I almost gave up. I almost said, I can't do it. God forgive me. I can't do it. And I almost just dropped to my knees right there in the dirt. And I was going to watch as the fire consumed not only the tree line and the camping equipment, but also me.
You were going to allow yourself to die.
There was no other choice for me. I would not be able to look anyone in the face knowing what Dennis had done. And
so you don't blame yourself for this fire. You were smoking the weed, okay?
Yes, sir, I was. But I'm not the one that flipped the roach into the high weeds, high dry weeds, the way he done did.
We're talking with Lloyd Bonafide on the world-famous Phil Henry Show about an incident in which he and some friends were smoking marijuana and the discarding of a lit roach set fire to the weeds around them. Two of the men left to get help. Mr. Bonafide was there by himself fighting this fire all night. You say all night long?
Yeah, well, yes, sir, until the sun was high, until the sun was up about an hour.
Do you know how many hours? We say all night long. The reason why I'm asking is, was it literally all night or was it a few hours?
Well, we had eaten dinner. We settled down. We played cards. We had a couple of drinks. We smoked two of these marijuanas that they had, two or three, and then we began telling stories. And then we smoked, I guess, probably another bowlful as they broke out a pipe. No, I had the pipe, so we smoked two more bowlfuls.
God, you smoke a lot of weed. No wonder you're getting recognized about a fire.
You know, that's true.
Well, I understand you said that's true. I didn't know what he said.
He said you...
All of the weed you were smoking...
Well, we smoked it. What do you mean?
You had two bowlfuls, four joints. Good Lord, man. No wonder you're looking at this fire and wondering if it's real fire or is it just the fire of hell that you'll be sent into because you cheated on your wife. I'm telling you right now, you guys were so stoned, you didn't know what you were looking at. And that fire could have gotten out of control and it could have consumed a lot more than just the immediate tree line. Why do you think you deserve any kind of love or credit for that?
You know, you're very fancy, Mr. Henry, and you're very clever. And
no. Why do you think, sir?
Well, because I put the fire. You're very clever, and if there's one thing I don't like, it's a clever boy. And you're trying to be a clever boy here.
I'm not being a clever boy. I'm asking you, why do you think you deserve love for putting out a fire that you were responsible? I know Dennis did, because he threw the roach. Fact of the matter is, all three of you guys smoking bowlful after bowlful. Man, you know.
Oh, so now it's funny, huh?
Well, I've got to laugh. Thank God nobody was hurt. Thank God you put the fire out. I suppose, sir, if I'm to be honest, it was quite a job that you did. You were by yourself. You shoveled dirt on top of it. The fact that you say you fought this fire all night, though.
Oh, does that sound like bullcrap? See, now you're beginning to squint your eyes up because I'm watching the Philovision or whatever you call it, and you rolled your eyeballs. You don't think people see that, Mr. Henry? But I saw you go, yeah, the fact that you fought the fire and the eyeballs roll, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, all right? Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go to Brad. We're taking some phone calls here for Lloyd Bonafide, a man who survived and survived very, very handsomely a fire that was started by himself and his mates in the forests of the Angeles National Forest up above Los Angeles. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Or no, not Lloyd. It's Brad. Brad, go ahead.
Lloyd, this is Brad, and I'm calling from Las Vegas, and it's nice to speak with you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say that your service to our country very much appreciated.
I appreciate that, sir.
You were smoking bowlful after bowlful. I have been a drug addict, sir. I consider myself still be a drug addict, and I go for counseling. I'm in a 12-step program.
Yes, sir. Well,
I'm to be commended.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what you are to be commended.
I appreciate that. And the fact that you were smoking this marijuana, you know, bowlful after bowlful, like Mr. Henry said, I understand that you can get very high and you will be enjoying the trees and everything that you're there, right?
Well, we were on the floor. Where are you right now?
I'm out on the side. I've got a flat tire. I'm on the freeway right now, and I'm waiting for the AAA.
You got a flat tire?
Yeah, I did, Mr. Henry. I'm on the 15 here outside of Vegas. I got a flat, and I was listening to the show, so I'm waiting for AAA. I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Well, I hope you're safe out there.
Yes, sir, I'll be safe. But my question is this. You were smoking bowlful after bowlful, and you were very, very high. You stoned, and the fire starts, and you claim that you single-handedly were using shovelfuls of dirt put out a fire that was 30 feet high.
I'm not claiming anything, sir. I'm telling you it happened.
I'm just asking you, how do you know it happened if you smoked so much weed you thought you were looking at the fire of hell that you would be cast into for lying to your wife?
Well, what does that mean?
That's a good point. He's asking, how do you know you're...
Hey. I'm hitchhiking right now. Go ahead.
Why don't you hold on for a minute, okay? We got a caller on the line from Las Vegas. We have Lloyd Bonafide with us. We got to take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue talking about this... These two women rescued in the Colorado mountains, and a great rescue it was, as they were found, and they are safe, and that's as it should be. Lloyd Bonafide calling in with his own tale of danger, putting out a fire some 20-plus years ago after starting the fire while smoking weed and watching the flames leaping into the sky and thinking that he was hallucinating hell. So, by the way, somebody ought to get on the line with this guy. I don't know what he was smoking, but you're not exactly going to be hallucinating hell.
Yeah, but what about a sedative hypnotic?
Yeah, okay, sedative hypnotic, whatever. We'll be right back. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show. Ready to get to it, bud?
I didn't know.
When we hear the countdown from CJ there in Washington, D.C., and she goes, "You're on," then you want to make the music go and not sit there with your finger buried in your nose as you just were doing.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and with me, Lloyd Bonafide from... Lloyd is in Alhambra, California. We also have with us a gentleman on the freeway in outside of Las Vegas, Brad. Now, Brad, I know you've had a flat tire. I appreciate very much, though, you joining us. You're okay, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine, Mr. Henry.
All right, let's get back to what you were saying, Brad, and you, Lloyd. The two of you were talking about, and what we are talking about here, folks, is kind of an interesting a bit of human behavior and the human story, and that is, if we are in trouble, if we are rescued, if we become a front page story because of a feat of heroism, often, people are drawn to us as a representation of life. In the case of these two women who were rescued, the tale perhaps should be told more from the viewpoint of the rescuers and not people who got themselves into trouble. In your case, Mr. Bonafide, you got yourself into trouble, but you got yourself out of it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, sir, I'm saying that, and
Hey, get your head.
Is this gentleman listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm sorry. We're trying to get a ride down to the filling station down here.
Why aren't you? I thought you were waiting for AAA.
We were. Yes, sir. We are waiting for AAA, but I don't know what they're doing.
Got a AAA card. Excuse me for having to ask that.
I think so, sir. Yes.
All right. That's not necessary.
I thought my girlfriend has a AAA card. I don't know. I mean, we did call AAA, and she said that they would. She went down to the call box here, but that was like 2 hours ago.
2 hours? 2 hours is a long time to be waiting for AAA.
Well, how do you know the card is current, sir?
I don't know.
Well, take a look at the AAA card. I think the far more important thing here is you.
Hey, look, Joe. Put it back. I'm sorry.
What are you asking her to show?
I didn't say anything, sir.
Yes, you did, because I've been in your position before. Did you ask her to show one of her breasts?
That's really no concern. I wanted to talk.
I think it is.
What, have you been in that position before?
Yes, sir. I guess I shouldn't talk.
I don't think you should talk. I'm asking you, because you put out a fire that you started, how's that make you better than those two women would have been rescued?
Well, you know, it makes me better than a guy standing off on the side of the freeway asking his girlfriend to flash one of her boobs so they can get a ride. There. How's that feel?
That doesn't answer my question.
All right, I don't want to have an argument about what this guy's doing on the side of the road. If this gentleman says he's fine and he's waiting and he's hitchhiking, I don't know. It's not a... What is the point that you are making, Lloyd?
My point is this. I'm not bringing this man's girlfriend into it, but I sure as hell didn't have a woman taking her blouse off and showing it to every helicopter that flew by. I had to put that fire out myself. Do you think anyone cares about a tired old man shoveling dirt onto a fire? The answer is no. If I had breasts, if I had a, excuse my language, vagina, I would have used it. I would have done everything I could, but I didn't.
What about your penis?
You're not going to get any help. You know, someone ought to kick...
All right, watch it, will you?
What is this conversation turning into?
I did not bring my girlfriend into this. You guys brought... I'm waiting for a ride. I've had 5 semis just blow right by us, and she's practically naked now. Okay?
Well, apparently they're not interested.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I'll take it from here, Phil. What's it mean? 3 guesses and the first 2 don't count.
Oh, so you guys think that I'm out on the highway here with USDA prime beef, and I don't...
I'm telling you...
Forget about this guy on the highway. All right, thank you very much, sir.
All right, Phil, I love your program. Do you know where I could get a CD of the show?
Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and there are CDs for sale.
Oh, okay, he goes to the website. She's looking for it right now on the iPhone. Okay, Phil, we love your show so deeply.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope they can find themselves a ride. Lloyd Bonafide with us.
That was a whole... you talk about wasted time. I've never in my life been on a talk show that wastes more precious, valuable time than this program that I'm on tonight. And I...
Well, that, you know what? I've had you on a full hour, sir. I think I've treated you with great respect. That's a real insult.
Mr. Henry, I appreciate that, but I'm about honesty. I said I'd never lie again, and I'm telling you right now, your show is about as bad as they get. I'm telling you that I almost burned a forest down, and that I put out the fire with a shovel.
Yeah, is that truth? See, let's get down to what's truth. You're looking at fire, you think it's the fire of hell. You put out a 30-foot-high fire with a shovel and dirt, fought it all night long. Am I supposed to believe you're some kind of a Popeye of the fire department?
Popeye.
You know something? I'll take that from anyone. I'll take that from my wife, but I won't take it from a talk radio program personality, the host.
All right, I tell you what, we're going to have to agree to disagree. I like the fact that these ladies were cited and feeded by the newspaper. Hold on, bud. Cited and feeded by the newspaper. I like that. What? Jay Santos. Okay, I'll get to Jay in a minute. That they were cited and feeded by the newspaper. I like the fact that these women were rescued. I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you when you say that you are, you know, that you deserve more. What is that?
Jay Santos.
What do you mean it's Jay Santos, Jay?
Flight Bill, Jay Santa, Superior Phil, we decided to go ahead and go on up to the area that Mr. Bonafide had been talking about. I think it's in there. We have a great lot of wildlife. That's the wildlife, you see. The wildlife has come back. I got to say, it has come back. As we come up here to where the area, they said he's... there's a lot of squirrel life here. And I don't know... the squirrel life is great, yes. The life has come back in the fire area that was ravaged by the stupidity of these individuals. The life is great, but these are squirrels we brought up in a cage. What does that mean? It means we came up here, Citizens Auxiliary Police came up to release squirrels up here to see if they'll survive up here in this fire ravaged area that you made. I don't understand.
In other words, the life has not come back.
Well, he just said that it did. He said the life has come back by way of my car. I brought up here. So you call up to mock an old man, is that it? I call mock an old man. What I'm trying to say to you is...
We heard what you said. Thanks very much, Jay, for bringing those squirrels up there to the area. So life has come back by way of the Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommander's cars. That's what he's telling us. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank me for what? This, you know, I didn't get to near what I wanted to say. It is so unfair. So damn unfair.
Thank you very much, sir.
Go straight.
All right, and we're going to be back here next hour, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much, Jay Sandus and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So what did they do? Did they tell you?
Yeah, they said I went down to a pet shop, got five, six squirrels, caged them, packaged them, take them all up.
Yeah, they're bringing the squirrel. They're ferrying squirrels up there now as we speak.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Ferrying squirrels. It seems to be funny. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West, or excuse me, 10 a.m. on the West Coast. That was our old time. 10 a.m. on the West Coast and 1 p.m., I don't know.
Oh, you're really good tonight, aren't you?
Sorry. 10 p.m. on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And again, a welcome and a hearty handshake and a thank you to our newest affiliate in Salt Lake City, KLOAM and FM. Very excited to have you guys on board with us. Very excited to be back in Salt Lake City, a great market. And you were asking me, Margaret, and CJ was asking me about Salt Lake City and the idea that Salt Lake City is somehow a real dead spot.
Well, I don't quite understand. I played a couple of dates in Salt Lake City. Did I tell you about that?
No.
I played, what's with Robert and Bud? You're not reacting.
I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
I said I played a couple of days. It's my... Would you please direct...
Act excited, will you?
Well, don't do it on the air.
Then don't bring it up on the air, Margaret.
After we're off the air, direct them.
You should be...
After.
The audience doesn't know what we're talking about now. They heard you open your mouth and say something about how they're supposed to be excited.
Oh, boy. You don't mind. You really want to see me. You want to see me treated as if I'm one of those white slave models in a porn film, don't you? You want to see me with five men standing around.
No, I don't. God.
What's so funny about that?
Well, then don't bring it up. If you don't want to be humiliated, don't bring it up. You were playing two dates in Salt Lake City, and Robert and Bud didn't react in the way that they should.
They should at least say, wow, you know.
Wow, Margaret, that's great.
Boy, that was fake.
Gray, I don't know what you want me to say, but I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
Well, they did the best they could. Guys, make sure you're more excited when she brings up her singing career.
I just got done telling... Phil, you cannot... You love to see women degraded. I know that. Excuse me. You deserve that.
I deserved what? Because you said to do so. You belch on the air. I've asked you not to do that a million times.
You deserve that because you brought up what I said. Not. I talked to you. God, I'm so angry.
So you had a couple of singing dates in Salt Lake City.
Yes, and you know something? The only reason why I want to keep talking about this is because the songs that I sang in Salt Lake City, one of them was from my very favorite mentor and my co-star, Richard Burton. Burton, yeah. How's that feel?
Oh, Richard Burton's fantastic. Where'd you co-star with him?
In Camelot. I was never on stage with him. I was understudying, But I remember him looking off stage at me and nodding and saying the big thumbs up. He couldn't wait to get rid of Julie Andrews. He couldn't wait to see her lay an egg out there so that I'd have my shot. It never happened. She did a good job. But I remember him glancing off stage at me and saying, whew, you know.
What does that mean, whew?
Well, Julie Andrews would be singing, and he'd look over at me like, oh, you know, it's almost too much for him to take. And he kept giving me the thumbs up, and he kept doing the cracking thing with the hands.
As in what? As a
scrambled egg?
Well, yeah, like he's cracking an egg, like someone just laid the egg. You know, Phil?
Yeah, okay.
Well, don't be, you're so impatient. But the song I remember, How to Handle a Woman, Mark Me Well. Richard Burton sang that to me. Me.
Oh, yeah, sure. How can you be sure?
How can I be? Because I saw him looking at me. Does that help?
Well, wait a minute. Was he looking off stage when he sang that song?
The song is sung solo. He's laying on, I think, this is a terrible thing. King Arthur is having problems with Guinevere.
Right.
And he is singing about his love, and I think he just finished masturbating. Now,
wait, don't interrupt. What do you mean he just finished masturbating?
Oh, well, let's just announce it to the world, Phil.
Well, you're the one talking about, that happens to be one of the great time-honored and cherished Broadway productions. Not that I'm a big fan of it. My parents were, but for you to say that Richard Burton as King Arthur...
He didn't. It was King Arthur's character.
What?
David.
Hey, what's going on over there? Because I'm hearing masturbation, King Arthur, and how to handle a woman. And none of those three things go together. Now, I'm pulled up in front of a Krispy Kreme. Do I get out and help her pick out what she wants?
Well, now, wait a minute. She's at a Krispy Kreme, so it's the same donut.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're all glazed.
No, they've got chocolate covered.
Well, either I get out and help her, or I put this fire out. Now, what's it going to be?
I get out and help her.
God.
All right, so, well, that's great, Margaret. So did you sing that in Salt Lake City?
No, I did not sing it in Salt Lake City for the very reason that I'm giving you. That Richard Burton looked at me. Oh, God.
Yeah?
And I knew then. And when I was due to go on stage in Salt Lake City...
Want me to play the music or something?
No, don't play any music.
I thought of him.
You thought of Richard Burton being in love with you?
Yes. How to handle... King Arthur has just finished, well, masturbating, and...
No, I'm not going to allow you to say that, because you don't know.
I don't know for sure. Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. The emotion has brought it out of me.
If you belch one more time on the air, Margaret, that's it. You're fired.
Oh, you're threatening me, huh?
That's not a threat. You're fired. I'm sick and tired of listening to that, and I don't want to hear it anymore, all right? No more belching on the air. All right, folks, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, the IPOs that we saw... What is this? For Margaret.
Baby's got blue eyes. Oh, thank you very much, bud. This keeps the gas down.
Like a deep blue sea.
I love to make a song my own, you know, Phil?
That's great, but I would have appreciated you, bud, saying something to me before you started playing the song.
Blue eyes. Isn't this wonderful? Richard Burton.
Hey, it's Elton John.
Oh, it's Elton John, and Baby's Got a Blue Eye.
Yeah.
I think this song, more than anything else, tells us how our culture has evolved, how we celebrate the disabled. And
how is this celebrating the disabled? Can someone tell me?
Baby got a blue eye.
Yeah, baby's got a blue eye.
I just heard him say blue eyes.
No, he did not. He said a blue eye is crying and... I don't know what's wrong with you, Phil, but I think you need an EEG.
Baby's got
listen.
Blue eye.
Baby's got blue eye.
It's like a disease.
Like pink eye.
Like pink eye, huh?
You know, I think you're very sarcastic.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Margaret, for that. That was...
May I hear the music, please?
Yeah, when we go to the commercial break, baby's got a blue eye.
What about pink eye?
What do you mean, pink eye?
Well, if it said baby's got pink eye, maybe you'd understand what it is he's trying to say. But because your mind can't get around the fact that baby got blue eye.
Yeah, baby got blue eye.
Baby now got blue eye. You know, you talk like a baby. And you are, you make these lies your own, Margaret. You're so convincing. It's marvelous.
What lie am I talking about?
Richard Burton was singing to you. And he was giving you the rolled eyes. And he was hoping that Julie Andrews would lay an egg. And on and on and on it goes.
Right. And even though you have their evidence for your own ears, baby got blue eye, you think that somehow I'm the turd. You think I'm the turd to be flushed and not you.
All right, folks.
And look at you getting the sympathy of the audience. This is what I'm saying.
You know, I'm going to get tired of arguing with you after a while, and I'm not only going to fire you, I'm going to burn this whole studio down.
Yeah, you're going to do a Captain William Bly. I'll run myself through, and then I'll kill you later.
Yeah.
I'll run myself through and then kill you later. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. How's he going to run himself through and kill the guy later?
Oh.
We're going to be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more of this marvelous stuff. More on the Twitter IPO. We're supposed to get to the Twitter IPO last night, and we did not, which pisses me off. We were supposed to talk about the ins and the outs, if you'll pardon the expression, of... get that out of here.
Baby got a blue eye.
Of the IPO offered by Twitter. We will, when we come back, world-famous Phil Hendry show. We'll be talking finances, high finance, money, with Ted Bell. And also Steve Bozell, as they tell us about their weekend NFL coverage. And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com here. And we mentioned philhendryshow.com. That is the online home of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'd like you to join us over there. Get a backstage pass, and you can watch the show as we do it. Here we have a video cast, and people are asking, what is this on? We're in our urban studio tonight, our urban virtual studio, with the screen behind me. That's a piece of B footage of...
Well, you said that's the city of Los Angeles being shot from a car in the 40s.
Yes, it's nice color footage of the city of L.A. I like any camera that is mounted in a car and just kind of catches the landscape as it rolls by. You know, I like that. And so I wish there was more of that in color.
But you get the camera, go out and do it yourself.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go out and do it myself. I like to see the what it looked like back in the day. So you're looking from a car in the 40s. What are you seeing?
Well, you're seeing a lot of stuff that I'm glad we don't have anymore. Which is...
Like what?
Oh, I don't know, Phil. Everything looks like the restrooms are filthy. Every single building you see in a 1940s movie, I think I would, you talk about running yourself through, I'd run myself through with a 17th or 18th century saber rather than sit on a 1940s toilet seat in a gas station. I'm Margaret Gray. Thank you.
Oh, knock it off. What a statement.
It's true. You think I'm kidding?
All right, well, Margaret, you were going to sing.
Yes, and I'd like to say something before the three of you start laughing and lying through your teeth. This is indeed a song that I wrote. I wrote the lyrics to this song, and I donated it to Elvis Presley. I said, don't worry, don't give me credit. But since then, I've had a change of heart because the song became very big, and everyone starts talking like they're big shots.
And you want to be a big shot, too.
No, I want people to know that I'm the real deal. That's all. I wrote this for Elvis.
As the snow flies.
I don't have the lyric sheet.
Yeah.
And another little baby, do-do-do. A little tiny baby is spit out into the world in the ghetto. I can't. What are the lyrics?
Here.
I thought you wrote it.
I did.
And his mother cries.
Because she doesn't need another screaming brat, and so she takes the kid and throws it out in the ghetto.
Get out of here, will you?
Well, will someone get me the lyrics then?
Well, hold on for a minute. Another screaming brat, huh?
You know something? You have arrogance unbridled. I wrote the song.
You're knocking over my coffee.
Okay, Mumbles.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Henry. You sound like Mumbles on the Dean Tracy show.
Shut up.
Mumbles, can I hear my music?
I don't like being called Mumbles, if you don't mind.
Okay, Mumbles.
You all right, Mumbles?
The world turns.
Well, what is that?
Well, you wanted me to turn it up.
And a hungry little boy with a running nose. Plays.
I don't remember a hungry little boy with a round off nose.
With
plays in the street as a cold wind blows.
In the ghetto. They changed the lyrics. I wrote, I sent to Elvis the lyric, and I said, Elvis?
And his hunger burns.
And his hunger what?
Well, what are you, did you write this or didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I wrote the letter to Elvis, and I said, Elvis, I've been listening to you doing the song. You're changing the lyrics. Stop doing it. Stop. Elvis, this is Margaret. Stop. Please write me, care of Sheraton Hotel, New York. Stop. You're butchering my song beyond recognition. Stop.
And did he write back?
He did. He sent back the telegram. Margaret, stop. This is Elvis Presley. Stop. I'll do what I want, when I want, and how I want. Stop. You know how I treat women. Stop. I wrote him back. I said, yes, I do. Stop. I'm looking forward to it. Stop. He wrote back that he...
Well, get out of here with the...
Well, I don't know. Frank has it. Call Frank. He's got it.
Call up Mr. Gray. He's got the telegram. And then we'll settle this once and for all.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Great, yeah. We'll hear from Frank with the gonorrhea brain.
How dare you bring that up?
I'm not going to stop bringing it up until he gets it fixed. All right, folks, thank you for joining us, the Phil Henry Show. Sorry about the sidetracking.
Sidetracking? I'm singing the song. You know, I really find that to be the... Here it is, here.
So he starts to
run the streets at night.
And
would you get me the lyrics? Because I don't know the lyrics of this song. Elvis carved this thing a new ass.
Oh, man, your language.
Look at the pot calling the kettle black. My language... Get me the lyrics, bud.
Will you get her the lyrics, please?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you can, get Elvis while he's dead.
Yeah.
Look at you laughing about that.
Well, what, did you want to get Elvis on the phone?
Yeah, get Elvis Presley on the phone. Make sure he doesn't butcher up the song.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, he's been dead for 30 years.
I know that. Were he alive, I'd get him on the phone and I'd carve him a new one.
Because he butchered up your song.
I don't know. Elvis Presley was in his day one of the greats, but the pills and the drugs and finally the impacted colon, I...
Oh, God.
Phil, it's life. Live in it, son. Live in it.
All right. So Twitter. Let's talk a little bit about Twitter and what they've got in mind. It's an interesting world we're living in, folks. There's no question about it. As we look at these IPOs, Facebook's IPO, just to bring you... up to speed. As you recall, Facebook wanted $36 a share. I don't think I've had that exact, but they didn't get $36 a share. In fact, they didn't get $35 a share. In fact, they didn't even get $30 a share. And the reason for that, as we have often stated, was the quite frankly, the bad information, the bad planning on the part of Mr. Zuckerberg. Brilliant man. I'm not taking anything away from Mark Zuckerberg, but there was one little area... in terms of what Facebook could do that he overlooked, and it was a very, very fundamental area at that time. They've made a comeback, though. Now we have Twitter and their executives leading the long-expected initial public offering. They've got a mission. Don't repeat the mistakes that muddied Facebook. While the two social networks offer services that increasingly overlap, Twitter executives have put distance between themselves and their rival in the lead-up to an IPO. Among its efforts... Twitter has acted conservatively in building a business case for advertising on its short message service, kept remarkably quiet about its IPO process.
Let me see that.
Don't pull that away from me. Give me that.
Phil, you're butchering it up. Let me look at this. Hold on. Kept my IPO process, not a different thing. Bank for the arm, sell and gun. Oh, it's garbage. Go ahead, you read it.
Thank you very much for vetting that. Garbage, huh?
That's right. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to the bathroom. Where are the Dutch masters?
Yeah, I got a box, Ms. Gray, over there in a cigar box.
Thank you.
You know, when you go to smoke a cigar, or go to the bathroom, or anything else you need to do, Margaret, you don't have to make a big announcement.
People want to know where I am because I'm a big pull on the show.
Yeah, I got your big pull.
How dare you?
All right.
Ms. Gray, a lot of guys like you. To them, you're the big pull. As in, hoo-hoo, woo-hoo, ow!
You got a mind like a... I tell you what, bud, if the stink coming out of your brain was any worse, I'd swear to God there was a dead body. Real funny, huh?
If the stink coming out of your brain, bud, was any worse, there's a dead body in your skull? Is that how that works?
I'm not going to play your little game.
You mean my little game called Please Explain What You Just Said? All right. The goal, according to a person familiar with the board and senior executives, is to make Twitter's IPO a contrast to Facebook's, meaning they know what they're doing, Facebook didn't. Meaning they're not going to go out there like they're hosting somebody's birthday party with dancers and singers and Zuckerberg, you know, in a G-string or whatever the hell they did. Twitter's going to go out there like business people, very conservative with suits, buttoned down, just bombed out of their skulls on methamphetamine. I'm kidding. Anyway, after which its stock fell following the May 2012 IPO. The moves could help Twitter be taken seriously both by investors and by marketers. This is very interesting. Twitter is talking about a conservative rollout of their IPO. They're talking about not being so bold. They're talking about keeping closed-mouthed about what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. And that is all fine, and that is all great, but that's not what sunk Facebook, folks. It's not because they were out dancing and singing and putting people off. That's not going to bother me. If I want to buy Facebook stock, I'll buy Facebook stock if I think it's worth it. I don't give a damn if Zuckerberg's out there with dancing girls or dancing bears or just the single one, the famous dancing bear, or with Captain Kangaroo as dancing bear. Doesn't matter to me. What I didn't like about it, what nobody liked about it, was the fact that the fundamentals, as in how do you advertise on mobile, were not there. And so Facebook's price dropped through, you know, for the most part, the floor. Had nothing to do with Twitter. And one will hope has decided that they have vetted properly what it is they're going to be telling potential investors, that they have looked into all the possible problems, and that those problems will be or have been dealt with, so that there's not going to be any big surprise like Facebook had. So that's what Twitter needs to do, and I'm sure they are doing that. But none of this has to do with the presentation. Although, yeah, Facebook likes to do things flashy, and maybe Twitter doesn't. I don't know.
Well, Twitter gonna verify you, man.
Twitter is never gonna verify me. They'll never verify. They got people there with 3,000 followers that they verified. They got a cat in Australia that I just started following because he is verified, and so I think he's a big star.
What's his name?
Stevie Poon. So I don't know what his name is. And he's verified. But this is America, baby. This is America. You know. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. What was wrong there, bud?
I'm getting a lyric on In a Ghetto.
Well, that doesn't take four arms, does it?
No.
All right, so we got the lyrics to In the Ghetto. Am I going to be allowed to do my whole thing here on, Twitter?
Phil, you can do your little... Everyone knows that Twitter is elitist. Twitter is an elitist social media platform. The people over there are all celebrities and so on and so forth, and there you are getting all worried about being verified. Facebook is the social media of the people.
Margaret.
Hold on, I'm not done yet. And I think I speak for everyone listening. Facebook is the social media of the people. You know how to spell that, right? P-E-O-P-L-E. That means all of them out there that are listening to us right now.
I understand that.
Good. Now, when you spend your time on Twitter jawjacking with whoever you think is a celebrity over there, you disgrace yourself, you disgrace your radio show, you disgrace your listeners and fans, you disgrace yourself. I already mentioned yourself, right?
Yes.
Oh, well, excuse me for boring you, Phil.
Well, what's the point? I mean, I'm trying to figure out this social media thing just as much as anybody else, you know? I'm trying to do what I gotta do, you know?
You gotta do what you gotta do. Well, don't you just sound like Jack Nicholson and Hoffa?
Well, I'm telling you that I am trying the best way I know how to figure out the social media reality. I was half kidding when I said when I talked about getting verified, whatever, you know, who knows how you're supposed to do that? But as far as I'm concerned, there are a great many people who are now, what is this?
It's great.
I'm going to finish singing
as the snow fly.
Wait a minute.
On a cold and gray.
Wait a minute, bud. God.
I know what you're doing.
When I tell you to go, you go. I say stop, you stop. When I tell you to move, you move. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
One, two, one. I didn't say anything yet.
Is this a game or something?
Hold on, Phil. I'll get Frank on the phone.
Yeah, what? And what? You'll run yourself through and then run me through later?
What? I didn't say that. He did. Ready? One, two, and a one, two, three.
Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born.
Turn that off, bud. What are, where were you born? In the ward for children with brains outside of the skull? Is that the one? Was that Ward 6? Where were you born?
I was born in L.A.
I didn't ask you the city.
All right, I'm not going to have any more of this, all right? Are you going to sing this song or not?
Yeah, I'd like to sing the song if you can start it at the beginning.
Well, I did start at the beginning.
No, you didn't. I just heard... I can't even describe it.
It was obviously upcut, bud, so you didn't do it right.
Oh, it was upcut. Wow.
Yeah, it was upcut.
I got something for you to...
Get something for you to upcut.
I got something for you to upcut.
I'm going to belt both of you. A woman, yes. I will sock you right in the chin, Margaret, and I'll take my chances with Frank, okay?
Boy, look at you.
That's right.
How about that? I'll deal with you later. One, two, one, two, three, four. Oh, too fast for you, huh? As the snow flies. Two, three, four, and on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a little baby child is born in the ghetto. Whoa, 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 whoa. See, that's my touch.
Right.
And his mama cries, two, three, and two, three. Cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another screaming brat. See, that's the line that I put in there.
All right, never mind about the screaming brat. Can I move back to this now?
Fine.
If you put in screaming brat and Elvis changed it, I don't blame him for changing it.
Why would... What about the integrity of the artist?
The integrity of the artist, and then there's the commercial consideration. Elvis is not going to sing the song, and another screaming brat gets born. Okay, he's not going to do it. He's changing it. You ought to be thankful that he sang your song in the first place.
Elvis Presley, I'm thankful to him. Elvis Presley should have gotten down on his hands and knees and licked my...
Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably get a disease, too.
Here's a disease for you.
Hey, watch it now. You reach across me to try to belt him one more time.
And keep him under control. I don't care what you do. Put a leather strap on him.
Margaret, you know, you're really, really, really out of control the last few days.
I've noticed that too, Miss Amber. You're right.
What do you say?
I'm saying you're really out of control. You're getting very, very proprietary. You're taking over the show. You're butting in. There's not one thing I say that you don't have some smart-ass crack about. So I'm just telling you to back it down, okay?
And what if I get Frank on here?
Fine. I think Frank will back me up. In fact, I know he'll back me up.
Let me call him up.
We'll get, yeah, go ahead, call Frank. I don't want him now. Have him hold over.
Well, no, I want to talk.
No, it's not about what you want. It's about what I want. It's about what I, Phil Hendry, what I want.
What an ego case.
That's right. That's exactly right. I am an ego case. I've been waiting 10 minutes to get into this Twitter thing, and that's what I'm going to get into. Another screaming brat.
What about the artistic integrity?
It isn't clear yet how Twitter will price its stock at its debut. The current thinking on Twitter's leadership, people familiar with its thinking, is to be more conservative than Facebook. Now, Facebook wanted to open at 36, and Facebook told everybody and their mother they wanted to open at 36. And the word on the street was that they wanted to open at 36. And that's what they tried to open at, 36, and they didn't get 36. Any more that I could make the 36-inch waist on a pair of jeans, if not for about 8 months worth of dieting. Thank you very much.
Yay. Way to save it.
Thanks. They want to avoid overpricing its shares or offering too many, as it looks to models from tech companies like LinkedIn and Workday, both of whom saw their stocks soar after they debuts, according to a person familiar with the board's thinking. So LinkedIn and Workday both went up. Today, LinkedIn was down by 0.04. Workday was down by, oh, no, it was up 0.55. You know, LinkedIn is a very interesting thing. I don't know what the story is with LinkedIn. I don't know. Are they good or are they useful? Some people sing their praises. Some people think it is a phenomenal resource. And I've talked to other people who say that LinkedIn is just a whole bunch of unemployed people talking to each other. What do you think?
Well, I think that LinkedIn, I don't even know what LinkedIn is. Oh, that was LinkedIn.
LinkedIn?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's what it's spelled.
LinkedIn?
Because of the movie.
What about the movie? No, it's LinkedIn.
How do you spell link?
L-I-N-K.
Oh.
I spell Lincoln with a C.
Well, I didn't know what it was, and I got these LinkedIn. Do you get the messages?
I get messages all the time at Facebook from people that I'm, you know, that are friends of mine on Facebook. LinkedIn, LinkedIn, LinkedIn. And I'm not interested. Now, I was having lunch with Maria the other day, and she said she's on LinkedIn and she loves it. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what to think about it. But apparently they did a really cool job. They want to avoid overpriced. On Wednesday, before Twitter's disclosure, Facebook chief Mark Zuckerberg joked at a conference that he would be the last person to advise Twitter executives on how to make a smooth IPO. Very true. Before Facebook's IPO, executives increased the size of its offering and the price despite some internal concerns about the strength of its ad business. While the offering was also haunted by technical challenges on the NASDAQ board, some critics blamed the stock's challenges on greed among Facebook's management. Twitter chose Goldman Sachs as the lead underwriter for its offering over the Morgan Stanley team that advised Facebook, according to people familiar with the decisions. Twitter is in the process of discussing with which additional banks will be involved in the process. So Twitter basically has learned from Facefoot, okay?
Well, if Twitter has learned from Facebook, then you're not laughing?
No, I already said Facefoot. What?
You think Facebook's funny? Facebook ain't funny.
I came up with Facebook.
All right, you came up with Facebook. It ain't that funny anymore. It was funny, now it's not.
And Facefoot is.
I think so. I think Facefoot's way funnier. All right, Frank Gray is with us. He's down at the Culver Arena in Culver City. He's watching some of the practice of the LA Kings hockey team down there as they are going through some of their very, very early scrimmages. Frank, welcome to the show. It's always good to talk to you, man. Were you over at Ted's?
Hey, good evening, young man. Yeah, I was over her place briefly.
Frank, honey, it's Margaret. Question. When I wrote In the Ghetto, okay, Frank?
Holy.
Well, don't start. When I wrote In the Ghetto and I sent it to Elvis, didn't he like it, honey, huh? Didn't he?
Yes, she liked it, okay. I remember getting the telegram, Phil, from Elvis's people, and they all said that she liked the song, but she was going to change some lyrics because she was concerned, being a Southern man, singing a song about basically Northern African-American people, that a Northern African-American woman, he's not necessarily going to throw a little infant female baby out into the snow. Can you imagine him throwing his daughter out into the snow and watching him die? So Elvis, she decided that if she's going to sing about him, that little female child being thrown in the snow, that her career wouldn't be worth a pinch of you-know-what on a sunny day in Decatur, Georgia.
I don't know what. I'm sorry. I'm very intrigued by that.
Phil, don't ask him, okay?
Wait, you're not...
A pinch of you-know-what?
On a sunny day in Decatur, Georgia. You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. A pinch of you-know... He wouldn't be worth...
I'm saying that if Elvis Presley actually sang the lyric that Margaret wrote about this Northern African-American mother taking this baby daughter and throwing him into the snow because he's screaming too much, the African-American mother would be put in prison, but Elvis, she wouldn't have a career left any more than Pinky Lee had a career left after people really got a good long look at her act. You see what I mean? What's so funny? You know, I got better things to do than to sit here and yank.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, I'm down here watching the Kings. I want to see how these little girls do. I'm getting so...
Well, Frank, you got the season tickets this year, darling. They're not cheap.
I know they're not cheap, and that's why I demand. I'm not asking. I'm demanding that the L.A. Kings start playing hockey like, well, I better not say.
Like what? Yeah, I know what he's going to say. I always say the same thing.
I'm not a racist, Robert. She thinks I'm a racist.
Well, what are you going to say?
It's an old school term.
What were you going to say?
Oh, God, Frank, you're not going to say that.
Well, you know, she's demanding that I say it, isn't she?
I'm asking you.
I know what you're going to say, Mr. Gray. I know you don't mean it, but still, it's offensive.
I was going to say the L.A. Kings better start playing hockey like the white men that they are.
Oh, my God.
Well, you forced it out of me.
Frank, why don't you get a clue and clean your act up?
There's not one thing racist about me. Now, she asked me, and even she, Robert is black, and she didn't mind.
Well, I don't mind, because I know you don't mean it, but still.
What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean? What's what supposed to mean?
Start playing hockey like the white men they are.
I don't know. It's something that we used to say as kids. And I'm sorry that I ever brought it up. But look, the Kings have my support. I support them 100%. I've got season tickets to see that garbage. I have suffered more than anyone watching the Los Angeles Kings play what they call hockey.
Well, they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago.
Big deal. By now, I would have expected about six or seven of those cups. But instead, we got one, and that...
All right, I got to take a break, Frank. Thank you very much for filling us in on In the Ghetto.
All right, but remember, when she's... is this Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, when you were talking to Margaret, understand that he's full of crap.
All right, that's your husband, by the way.
I'll deal with him when I get home.
All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk here about the Twitter IPO, as we talk here about, well, all kinds of things tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including In the Ghetto by Elvis Presley, and just exactly what could that possibly represent in the overall, man. Margaret's offering of In the Ghetto and the fact that the lyric, another screaming brat and all that. I don't know. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you. Oh, thank God it's Friday. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I'll deal with you when I get home.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. It is a digital world as well as as well as an analog world. What do we mean by that? I mean, it's terrestrial radio, satellite radio. We're online, and it's all good, you know. You can hear podcasts of this show each and every day with a backstage pass. You can go to philhenryshow.com and listen to our show. You can also see it. You can watch a video cast of the show. We have that in our archive as well. We have close to 5,000 hours of archived audio, full radio shows, not bits, not 1 hour here and 15 minutes there, entire radio shows that you can listen to. We are finishing, finally, thank you, Bud, the show logs.
Yeah, we finally got our act together on that.
Well, those show logs, that was becoming an embarrassment. People want to know what's on those hours.
Well, we're getting those show logs finished, and along with so many other things, it's a very, very exciting period to be with us. So we certainly do encourage you to join us at philhenryshow.com. There's this Syrian crap. Do you want to talk about this?
I don't.
Well, I mean, we got to mention it. The Syria stuff is so, like, over. It's not that complicated, but every day they try to make it more and more complicated. Talks that could avert a U.S.-led strike in Syria were centered Friday some 1,800 miles away in Geneva, leaving some optimistic about not just the removal of chemical weapons from the war-torn nation, but the prospect of long-term peace. So what my question is this. If Obama's getting his ass run around the maypole on this thing, how is it that Syria's thinking about getting rid of their chemical weapons? Oh, wait a minute. They don't have any chemical weapons. Oh, wait a minute. They went down there and asked them to get rid of their chemical weapons. I've never in my life seen a guy run a game like Putin, man. That guy's beautiful.
What are you talking about, Phil? Putin is a formidable person.
He's about as formidable as Bud. That guy has got here's what Putin has. A photograph of him with no shirt on fly fishing. The fact that he looks like a typical Russian hard ass. And that's it. He ain't got diddly squat. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. He hasn't got a military. He hasn't got any of the juice that America has in terms of the diplomatic circles and pull. He hasn't got the economic pull. Maybe if he puts himself together with China, they can muscle people occasionally. I mean, if they really want to. He's got a big fat mouth. And the American people, being as insular as they are, and being excuse me, folks, but, you know, when it comes to international affairs and news from abroad, Americans are about as dumb as it gets, and they're buying into this. Oh, yeah, Putin, that's...
What about the time, you know, you don't understand, Phil, when the Russians and the missile crisis, everyone remembers... Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Everyone remembers the Misses of October.
You're doing sloppy jaw. Nobody want to hear it.
Shut up. We almost incinerated the entire world, Phil, with our nuclear arsenal. Did you think we shouldn't take the Russians seriously then?
Excuse me, but there was a little difference. That was the USSR. And they were up to their ass in nuclear weapons, and that was it. Those guys, if you scratch them deep enough, that was a toilet bowl over there, too. You scratch the USSR deep enough behind the missiles and all those guys with the funny-looking hats and those May Day parades, whatever the hell those were.
What the hell are they called May Day for?
Yeah, it sounds fairly effeminate, you know?
It sounds effeminate?
Well, May Day...
It's about the... May Day is the Labor Day. It's the traditional Labor Day in the Russian... I'm not going to get into it. All right. Yeah, so those guys were badass, and they were involved in an ideologic battle with the West. The Putins of the world and the Russians of the world, they're not involved in ideologic jack squat. They want to be us. That's what they want to be. They want to be us so bad that they don't want it to look like they're being us. So they got to kind of grab a hold of some of their old Stalinist stuff, and there's Putin acting like he's a dictator. He ain't the dictator of anything. They may be stronger than they were when they were a communist country, and maybe in 10 years they'll be making more aircraft than anybody else. That guy has got no pull at all. And I'm sure if people want to think Obama's an idiot, you go right ahead and you do that, folks. You think he's a moron, but I got a little piece of news for you. Some of the people that work for him are not stupid. And the first thing they said to him was this. Mr. President, you know, Putin ain't got diddly squat. You know, he can talk all the tough talk he wants. One of the things we need to do is look like we're the good guys here. You could take Putin and you can push him off a cliff for all the you know, all that he's worth. But the fact is, you don't want the world think that America is the warmonger here. What do you want me to do? Well, I think what we should do, sir, is, you know, let Putin float his little peace plan, and we'll go, oh, well, you know, I mean, that sounds pretty good.
You know what pisses me off? You sound like you know what you're talking about.
Why does that piss you off?
Because there are people out there like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and they talk politics every day, and they're really smart. You hardly ever talk about it, and you sound smarter, and it makes me angry. It makes me very... Tom Hartman, who's wonderful. I love him. And yet there you are, Phil. You scratch your rear end. You look at one page of a magazine. You come in, put it into perspective, and sound better talking about it. And it makes me angry.
Well, I'm so sorry.
All the other talk show...
Yeah, it's true, Mr. Andy. All the other talk show hosts, they all study it up and everything. And you come in here scratching your butt and looking like a dumbass. And
would you watch what you're saying about me, if you don't mind? I mean, it is only me.
No, but I mean, Mr. Andy, that's a compliment to you. You don't do anything. Scratch your butt, look like a dumbass, drink some Everclear, probably sucking down grappling moonshine, come on in here, make more sense than anybody else. Man like that.
And I don't understand anything you're saying, and I don't drink moonshine, and I don't drink Everclear.
Well, but you look like you do.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm your hillbilly here with a better perspective on international politics, even after a bottle of Everclear, than anybody doing legitimate talk radio could ever have.
Ow!
All right, we'll be back next hour with more of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we got a hell of an hour ahead. Oh.
Are you really an alcoholic?
I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're really kind of easing into this hour here.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, our final hour this Friday night, and then we are taking the week off, not actually the whole week. I don't think we'll take the whole week off, but we're going to the NAB in Orlando, Florida.
What's going on?
Going down to Orlando. Going down to Orlando with a broken heart. Going down to Orlando to the National Association of Broadcaster Convention, and we'll be there. And a couple of things that are happening here for the remainder of the month that I'll tell you about. So that'll be fun. In the meantime, we are going to be in touch with you via the website. We'll be in touch with you via... We're planning on doing some media. I don't know whether we're going to do a podcast. I think I'll probably do a regular podcast for everybody, at least an audio podcast. I don't know if we'll have the a video side of it or not.
Well, how are you going to do that?
Well, what I'm going to do is do an audio podcast, do an audio show. We'll probably do something from the NAB, and you know, it'll be fun. Interview some of our fellow broadcast heavyweights. Maybe I'll get some heavy hitters in there, you know?
Yeah, you're gonna get like Howard Stern or somebody like that? Because that's the only one anybody care about.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll get Howard Stern. I don't know. Howard's not going to be there. Howard Stern does not go to the NAB, believe me.
Well, why doesn't he? If you're down there, why not him?
He doesn't have to. Howard, if I were Howard, I wouldn't go either. But I go down there. I'm going down because of my friend Valerie Geller has a panel, and I love to help Valerie out. She's a great person.
Yeah, Howard Stern, he's not going to help anybody out.
No, don't say that. I'm just saying, if he doesn't have to hang around stuff like that, he doesn't do it. I don't blame the guy. But if we encounter any of our other fellows, we'll try and get a comment. Maybe I'll see Rusty Humphreys.
Now watch your step with what's going on up there, Phil. You don't want to get your you-know-what caught in a thing.
Yeah, you know.
I won't, okay? Don't worry about it.
Talk about that.
All right, take it easy, will you, bud?
Yeah, move past it, bud.
But you don't want to get that, the very valuable part of a man.
I understand.
You understand that part, but caught in a, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Well, I imagine it's something bad. The point is not to get it caught in something that, the point is don't get into trouble.
Yeah, well, don't get into what kind of trouble, though? See, this is why I try to be specific.
You're not being specific. You're saying don't get your you-know-what caught in a you-know-what.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I thought I did. I don't.
Well, what are you all talking about, this man? Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Excuse me, Robert. I hate to pull race, but I'm the white one.
Oh, you're the white one.
You the white one? Oh, okay. Sorry, Mesa.
I am a liberal. Now, don't you talk to me like that.
Well, Margaret, come on.
I didn't pull race on him.
Yeah, you did say I hate to pull race, but I'm white, and so I get to say it.
I'm going to reach over and strangle that bastard.
Hey! You said you didn't want to pull race. You and Frank are really killing me.
What did Frank do?
Oh, why don't you get out there and play hockey like white men?
Well, Robert, you understand. Do you want them to play hockey like black men?
Yeah, they're good black players. They got good black players, too, in hockey.
Well, not so you'd notice.
Yes, they do. Why don't you shut up while you're ahead? You're killing me, you know that? You and a lot of people like you. I'm a liberal, but let me play hockey like a white man. I hate to pull race.
That's a hot one, I'll tell you that.
You just love to see me sitting here with it dripping right off my chin, don't you? And about five guys zipping up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, throw her off the air just for that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah.
I have half a mind to pitch you off the air for that.
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, throw her off. She's going to get you fined by the FCC and everything. Next thing you know, you'll be twisting in the breeze.
Oh, get a load of the Gloid trying to tell you what's up.
Well, you know what? He knows better than you do. You got a real foul mouth on you.
Did I say? I said watch your step at the NAB or they'll stick your you-know-what into a...
Into a what?
Into... What's the worst thing that could happen?
A meat grinder.
No, no, no.
What?
What's the worst? The worst! They'll stick it into...
Into you.
Into me.
Ow! I won't stand for that.
Get out of here, Margaret.
I'm leaving.
No, you're not leaving, but you're getting out of the studio. What's the worst thing they could stick it into? You. How did you say that? You knew she was going to react.
Well, I mean, she asked the question.
Yeah, but well, I'd rather have it. Well, I better not say.
Nah, you better not say, because I know she's listening to everything. Moy, I got to tell you what, that woman is out of control, man. She's not doing herself any favors here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's for ding-dang sure. All week long, she's been nuts. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the, do you think it's, well, I better not say. I'd have Frank on here, but I already, you know, he doesn't want to be bothered. He's watching the damn hockey, and I don't want to talk menopause.
What's that?
It's, what's menopause?
Yeah.
It's something that people, I can't explain it, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean...
It's something that women go through. Men go through a version of it. It's a chemical change.
Yeah, like puberty.
Well, not like puberty. I mean, puberty is, it's a different kind of chemical change. The body begins to shift and change its priorities, if you will, especially in women. And when it happens, there are mood shifts.
Yeah, I want to sit down. Let me just... Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm the woman here, and so I'll tell you about menopause. There's itching. It's very, very irritating itching. You need to reach down And sometimes there's a cop that doesn't understand. And so that's a little... Tell them about the bad parts, Phil. There is the itching, and I've got to reach down there and get some relief right when a cop rolls by, and I got one hand on the wheel.
Yeah, thank you. Are you leaving again?
Yes.
So she just popped in long enough to tell us about the itching. All right.
What about a cop?
I don't know. Maybe the cop went, oh, hey, the lady's only driving with one hand, and the other one is scratching something. I better give her a ticket. All of you cops out there, remember that. So that's what it is, and I don't want to go any further into this. All right. Talks that could avert a U.S.-led strike in Syria were centered Friday some 1,800 miles away in Geneva, leaving some up. Who cares about this?
That's about Syria and everything.
Where is Mr. Faneen? Raj Faneen joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mr. Faneen, as you know, had been a guest of ours on the program early in the week. We did want to bring him back on to get a little bit more of an update on just what all of this means from the perspective, shall we say, of Middle Eastern people. You know, this is a part of the country, a part of the world, I should say, that is just long tortured. It's been a tough one. It's been a tough row to hoe. Raj, how are you doing tonight?
Phil, I'm all good, and you know, I think to answer your question, I think that the United States of America, the people look to America to say, what can you do? Can you help America to help, you know? And we wish to have America help, you know, but we're not like to see America only help Israelis. And we'd like for America to help us, you know?
Well, you know, in that part of the world, Raj, there's been a lot of changes over the last few years. Egypt, Tunisia... what's happened in Iraq, what's happening continually in Afghanistan, the liberalization of Iran with the new leadership there. The people of the Middle East are moving toward democracy, aren't they?
I think the people of the Middle East are moving to a Middle East democracy. It's not a democracy as dictated by America. It's not going to be a democracy as dictated by Israelis. Is not going to be a democracy as dictated by Lebanon. You know, Lebanon is a parliamentary. And a lot of people...
You're talking about Lebanon?
Yes, Lebanon.
They have a parliamentary, yes, system. But then again, the Iranians have a democratic system.
Well, no, Iran, he is a Democrat, but they've got the big boy. I forget what they call him.
The Imam?
The what?
The Ayatollah.
Yeah, Ayatollah, and that, it's, he runs the show, you know. Todd is here, do you want to?
Todd is here.
Yes, my son, Todd.
Yeah, I know, but every time you're on the show, let's take a break and talk about that, because every time you're on, I got him.
What's wrong with that? Hey, Todd, excuse me, Phil. Todd, shut up. Shut up. Okay, Phil,
You hang on. His son, Todd.
May I say something?
Go ahead.
I think the boy is a pain in the you-know-what, and if you think putting your thing into a thing is bad, I think that kid and his entire life is worse than anything that could happen to your thing.
Okay, and with that, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That is philhenryshow.com. We got Raj Faneen on the line. We're talking Syria, talking Middle East. We're talking, man. As long as we're talking, there's hope. As long as Phil's talking, there's hope. If Margaret and these guys start talking, no hope with dope. No hope with dope. World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
I knew I'd jump there.
Well, I had CJ, our engineer, our technical director, I had the volume too hot. So when CJ was giving me the countdown, I thought my nose would be the conduit through which my brains would leave my head. Oh, my God, I have to turn that down. I almost killed somebody once. I was an engineer. And I was working on a session at Westwood One. And we had a very nice lady in who did a show there. And her name was Hetty Lynn Hurdies. And Hetty was a nice lady. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And she put her headphones on. And there was a million things. I was just starting out doing a multi-track show. And she put her headphones on. And for whatever reason, I didn't have the level right. And the feedback just tore
bloody
tore right through her skull, you know, and all I saw was this woman's eyes get about as big as the moon, you know, just, and she just went, ah, and opened her mouth and she took the headphones off. If it would have been me, I would have been screaming, you know.
Well, what does the feedback goes through your head and burrows a hole through your brain, doesn't it?
Well, not literally.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, okay, it goes like this. And it goes right into the head.
Yes, bud, that's right. It's a very good approximation of what feedback is. And it's a searingly painful thing, and it can be so loud. This is what's happened to me. I've experienced feedback that has caused vertigo, that's caused me to get dizzy, because the piercing audio of this is messing with the whole, you know, jacked up brain thing.
The piercing audio is messing with the whole jacked up brain thing.
I don't know what it's called, you know.
Well, that was very...
You gotta know what it's called, Mr. Henry.
The piercing audio of the jacked up brain thing.
Whatever it is, whatever was the wrong with me, that was it. So I've taken great... I had a friend of mine who was an engineer once. He had to call in sick. He had to call in sick from work because his horn got stuck. His horn in his car.
What horn?
Did you hear what I just said, man?
No, the horn in the car, man.
Oh.
The horn in the car got stuck. He went around and he opened up the hood of his car, and the horn, bouncing off the hood, went into his ears and destroyed his ability to hear any high-end sound for the rest of the day. So he couldn't engineer properly an audio session, so he called in sick.
Well, you gotta be kidding me. That's the biggest load I've ever heard.
Well, it might be a load, but that's what he did. And if you think about it, it makes sense. How can you be a proper audio engineer if part of your hearing is gone?
You mean like forever?
Not forever, just for that part of the day. It's like, all right, welcome back to the pro... That's the...
I don't get it, man.
Well, you really burned up some precious time to that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, Margaret. Anyway, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Raj Fanin has joined us from the San Fernando Valley, from Sherman Oaks. And I know, Raj, you've got your son Todd there.
Billy, let me, I want to mention to you, my wife is here. I want to Todd, my boy, who I love and honor, my son Todd, but I don't want for him to be on this show tonight because... Yeah, it makes me, you know... what did I tell you?
Okay, your son is obviously not helping.
No, he's not helping tonight. I'm very tired. Daddy is tired tonight. I took my son, you know, and I took my son to see a football. And we never see a football. And we never have seen the football. And I took my son last weekend. We said... Daddy, he says, Daddy, why should you take me to football?
Does your son speak English, you know, when he's just with you?
Yes, except he will not speak English. He only speaks Arabic when he is speak with American like you or something, even though he is American. He was born in America, but he likes to speak Arabic to blow, what do you call it, to blow the mind, you know?
So he's trying to piss people off.
No, he's not to piss people off. He's just to blow out a mind, you know? He wants to blow out the mind.
He wants to blow out a mind, huh?
Well, whatever you say.
So you guys went to see football, huh?
Yeah, my son Todd. He says, Daddy, please take me, Daddy. I never see football. I said, all right. So I talk over here to Herbie Mitchell. You know Herbie? And he has the auto body shop, right?
Yeah, I know him. And he's got Charger seats, right?
Yes, he has the San Diego Charger. And I said to Todd, we're going to see the San Diego Charger. And he said, Daddy, thank you. We are so excited and we are so happy. And so my wife, she says, you take the boy. I will stay at home with our daughter. They have a little baby daughter who I love her more than life itself.
Congratulations. What's her name?
Her name is Cheryl.
Cheryl. So you have Todd and Cheryl.
Yes, we give the American name, you know. We name her after a secretary here, a receptionist here at our insulation business, Cheryl Cromier. So I was taking Todd to the San Diego Charger game. And through the game, we are cheering and we are Charger, Charger, yay, Charger. And all of the people, it's so much fun to go down to the Q. You've been to the Q?
Qualcomm Stadium. I have not been to, they call it the Coliseum?
Yeah, the Coliseum. And then I came back from to get the Todd. Daddy got the Katonjitana home. Oh, it's got Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack?
Oh, I love, yeah, caramel corn.
Yeah, right there. Right? Caramel corn, I love this cup. And Daddy came back with a Cracker Jack, and the man on the announcement said the Chargers are behind. And I said, my God, what do you mean? And the man said, no, the Chargers, now they're behind. It's no good. It's no, this will not do. And I said, what? What is this game? A minute ago, I celebrated with my son. And my son... and.
Well, why are you emotional about it?
Because Todd was here. My son said to me, Daddy, why did you do this to me? Why did you bring me to this? And I would never hurt my son.
Well, they didn't do it on purpose. I mean, that's the thing about football. It's the thing about sports.
But they went ahead. Are you listening to what I'm saying? These bastards went ahead in the football game. This San Diego Charger, right?
Yeah.
These idiots went ahead, these bastards. I look at the bastard, I said, Daddy's going to get some caramel corn. You know, keep the seats warm. You know what you say in America, right?
Okay.
And I go, I get the caramel corn, I got the Cracker Jacks, I got myself a cup of coffee, big deal. I come back with this swill, and I look at the scoreboard, and they're getting their ass kicked. You're telling me I don't have a right to say.
Look, Raj, it's sports. I mean, you watched football in your country, soccer. You know the teams will get down.
Not like that, no. Are you nuts? Never I go to a soccer game to see Europe won nothing, two nothing. They got their ass kicked. I looked down these bastards, San Diego Charger bastards, and I said, you look at that, these bastards standing around scratching their butt, you know? Todd? Todd said to me it broke his heart. He's only a little boy. And the Chargers played like a bunch of women. You see.
Well.
No. Don't you well me. I tell you now, Mr. Henry, I pay money for Herbie's season ticket. And the San Diego Chargers played like women. Played like a bunch of women. And what do you say in America? The on a tampon.
All right, grow up, okay?
Well, I mean,
grow up. Enough is enough. On a tampon.
Well, God.
Look at Raj. Don't treat it like it's some horrific betrayal. If they stink, they stink. Believe me when I tell you, the San Diego Chargers, like any other football team, they want to win. They want their fans to be happy. By God, they want to go to the locker room. They sucked. They got beat. They got beat late. They gave up a lot of points. You're right.
Well, and I take a child to see this? Would you take a little boy to see this?
Yes. Yes, I would. But when I was a little boy, I saw all kinds of things happen to my favorite teams. I broke my heart.
Mr. Henry, God says, you go torture a little boy. He does not want to be the little boy that you torture. But you go, Phil. You go torture the little boy.
I'm not you take a kid to a game and you teach him that this is sports. Some days you're up, some days you're down. Some days you're, you know...
Some days you're up, some days you're down. Some days you're face down and your butt up and you got...
All right. God, and he's got his kid there.
I think the man's insane. I think he has mental problems. I think there's a mental deficiency there that goes, I think it's genetic, and I think it's racial.
Oh, in other words, the Arabs are...
Yes, I think they're inferior. I'm joking. No, I don't.
Well, all right, we'll be back with a little more from Raj Fanane. Get back to the question here of Syria. I didn't know that the Chargers did get their ass kicked. There's no question about it. But for his kid to be blubbering like a... Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Online at philhenryshow.com. Back in just a moment. The weekend is ahead. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Raj Fanane with us and his son, Todd. And we're also taking some phone calls here, 877, or excuse me, 855-500-7445. 5. We've got Vernon Dozier on the line from Glendale, and you're on, Vernon, with Raj Fien. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Raj, how are you? Vernon Dozier.
Yes, sir. I remember you a lot to speak to you.
Yeah, how are you been?
I've been very good, sir.
All right, how's your son Todd?
Well, you know. You know, hold on for a minute, okay?
I anticipate that your son just said something about me that is probably not too flattering.
Well, you know, he's dead, but you understand he knows you.
Yeah, well, he may know me, but a little boy like that. What did he just say? I'm curious. What did he just say? Seriously.
I can't. I wish not to say. Let me get my wife. When I get this, she said that. Just a touch of Vishina.
No, What is that lad saying about me?
I don't want to say.
Okay, say, because he's probably saying something dirty. And
you know, I will say this to you, Mr. Dozier, and Phil can back me up.
All right, now hold on, gentlemen, before you go any further.
If you back me up.
Oh, before you go any further, you guys have had contentious appearances on my show before. I don't want that to devolve. I don't want it to devolve into another one, if you don't mind, okay?
Phil, I don't want it to either. I'm asking Mr. Fien what this minor child that should have respect for his elders.
My son does what I speak for him to do.
Well, I'd like to know what the boy said.
I don't want to say.
All right, so is it safe to say, Raj, that what that boy said was a very insulting thing?
It would be insulting to you if you were the thing that he said you was.
Okay, what kind of game are you playing? I every time I come on this program...
No, sir, you called me. I am the guest. You're the one that called in.
Excuse me?
I'm the guest. You're the one that called in.
Mr. Henry, I wasn't the guest, was I?
No, you were not the guest. You called in.
Well, I was a guest one time, and you called in, and I treated you good.
I've never called in when you've been a guest.
You're a lying...
Yes, you see, there he goes. You about to say I'm a lying camel jockey, huh? You was going to say that?
I didn't say camel jockey, did I? But I will say this. You people from the sand.
Okay, Vernon. That's enough.
Why won't anybody listen to what I want to say? Okay?
You call it every time you frustrate for the Middle East, you know?
Because the Middle East has cost my country billions of dollars trying to straighten things out down there. Because if we don't straighten things out down there, you export this terrorism to every corner of the globe and we got to deal with it then. Okay? And I'm angry about that. Yes, yes, sir. I'm not blaming you. And I'm not blaming your son. But when I come on a program and I want to know what the kid said, you know, and you won't tell me.
Well, you go ahead and you say the Arab man, the people of the sand.
Because I have found in my experience, sir, that the people of the sand...
Now, who are they?
You know full well who I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go, Mr. Henry. He doesn't want to say.
You're talking about Arabs. Is that what you're talking about? Arabs?
Is that what you're talking about? Arabs?
You know, Phil...
When you start mocking me like that, the phone's going to get hung up.
I know, Mr. Andrew, because I don't think you're a very big man about it. I don't think you allow yourself to be mocked in the same manner,
In the same wiener?
I didn't say wiener. In the same manner... that you mock people. Now, all I want to do is for someone, I don't care where at this point.
Hey, why don't you take it easy, man? You know,
don't tell me to take it easy. You're out there. You throw your magic carpet on the back.
Hey, you know something? I'm trying to listen to you, Vern. Shut up, Todd.
If you don't stop that kid, I will.
You will not touch my son. I can guarantee you this, my friend. I'm trying to listen to you, Vern.
Right, then listen to me, will you? Now, every time I come on a radio show with you, and you got your Arab thing that you're doing...
What do you mean, Arab thing?
Will you listen to me? Every time I come on the Phil Henry show, and all I want to do is I want to talk to you about the Middle East and why it is that America is constantly getting sucked in.
America gets sucked in, my friend, because America wishes to be sucked in.
Oh, is that right? And when they blew up the whole Twin Towers, that's us wanting to get sucked in?
That was Osama bin Laden. I had known nothing of that man.
Oh, you don't know nothing of him now. But I bet you when he was talking about how America's evil and this and that, you're all about him, weren't you?
I never heard of the man before. I did not know this man. I'm from Egypt. I'm not a Saudi.
And I got problems of my own, you know?
You got problems of your own. Let me tell you something about the...
No, go ahead, you guys. This is good. Although, Vernon, you're going to have a stroke.
Yeah, you're right. I am going to have a stroke. I'm going to stroke out. I'm going to stroke out. It'll be because of a kid named Todd that doesn't even speak English, even though he knows how to.
Why would my son Todd give you the stroke?
Because he's in the background going, E-e-e-e-e-e-e-e-e-e. He sounds like that one guy from Lawrence of Arabia when what'd the guy do? What do you mean, Lawrence of Arabia? The Arabia. Ain't that it?
Arabia.
Lawrence of, that's what I said.
No, you said Lawrence of Arabia. Like it's,
it seems to suit it, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
You know, Vernon, I don't understand you. I really don't. I try to understand you.
Why don't you understand? I'm a white man. I'm not a white man.
Hey, look at that. There's that racism again. White man. You say you're a white man?
I meant to say I'm an American. I didn't mean to say white.
You know, what came out was white man.
All right. Why don't you understand me? I'm an American just like you. Instead, you want to see the way of the camel. And I don't mean that in any bad way. I'm saying the way of the camel. There's the way of the camel, or what? Or the way of the Ford Ranger truck? Or the way... All right. Or the way of the tractor. Or the way of the combine. How about that?
And what's the way of the combine?
That's the equipment that we use. God.
Vernon, this is Margaret. I think you are pushing yourself deeper into a hole here.
I don't doubt that you'd say that, Margaret. Everything I say, every time I open my mouth... You are my mother. You are my mother. You are just like my mother. Every time I open my mouth...
Look, man, we're not doing a therapy session for you. Have you got a point you want to make here? You're talking about the way of the camel versus the way of the what?
The way of the Johnson... The way of the International Harvester.
Boy, this guy, Phil, I don't know, you know...
Don't you laugh at me. Oh, don't you laugh...
All right, we had to... Bud, would you talk to him... And make sure he's okay, because I don't want to just cut him loose if he's going to go out into the world a raving lunatic.
Yeah, Vernon, you got to calm down about a way of a camel and everything, huh? Well, I'll tell you.
All right, I don't want to just do it off air. Raj Fanin, thank you for your patience. And I don't think that you did anything there, Raj, that caused that. I think he was spoiling for a fight.
I tell you, Mr. Hendry, I've spoken to this man, Vernon. He's a good man, I think, but he hates Arab. He hates Arab. I know he hates Arab. Every time he come on, the way of the camel...
The way of the camel I haven't heard. This is the first time I've heard him express out-and-out hostility, and I think it's a shame. 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Raj Fanin with us. I don't know whether you were able, Raj, to get rid of your son there, Todd, but it sounds like the things are a little bit more under control. Let's go to Bobby. Hi, Bobby. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. I wanted to ask Raj. Raj, this is Bobby Dooley in the Valley, and I met your wife, Fariba. Is that your wife's name?
Yeah, my wife's Fariba.
I met her over here in the Culver Mall, and I thought she was delightful. I said, are you the lady who's married to the gentleman that's been on the Phil Hendry Show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ms. Dooley.
Yes, I'm Bobby Dooley.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she said, yes, I am. I said, well, I'm Bobby Dooley, you know. And she looked me, sort of at me, and she said, uh-huh. And I said, well, I'm Bobby Dooley from Western States. And that's when she said, oh, my husband and I were there. Were you over here?
Yes, we went to Western State. We did not speak to you. I spoke to your good man, Steve Dooley.
Steve, did you?
Yeah, I remember. Steve Dooley here.
Oh, yes, sir. Steve, this is Raj Fanin.
Oh, yeah, I remember you came over and everything.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, your husband said that we were your property was not zoned for a water well. I said...
I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said that your properties there were not zoned for a water well. Eh? I said, what do you mean? He said, like a nomadic what? I said, I'm not to travel on a camel. He said, well, are you going to drill a well? I said, no, I'm not to drill a well. I use regular water out of faucet. He said, well, I'm not familiar, right, Steve?
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with whether he needed a water well or not.
I don't know what he's talking about, Mr. Finney.
Well, let me, can I jump in here? This is Phil.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you mean a water well?
You talk about Lawrence of Arabia.
What is it with everybody with Lawrence of Arabia?
Well, you know what's funny, sometimes I think...
Lawrence of Arabia, the man had a water well, that's all. And he said, look at the dogs that are drinking out of our well. Now, the last thing that I want to see is for Mr. Finney to move in. He has a water well, and then these dogs, and by dog, I know you're talking about the people that live in the neighborhood. And we've got two very lovely elderly couples that would live at the end of that street that you were looking at. But I would hate to see them trying to pull water from your well like just nothing but running, filthy dogs.
Well, that's the thing, you know.
You know, life is more than a movie, and it's based on more than a movie. Let me put these guys on hold. And to call elderly citizens that have lived in a neighborhood for many years a bunch of dogs robbing some guy's water well like it's the middle of the 1910s, there's something very, very wrong with people's understanding of the world. All right, thank you very much, you guys. We'll put you on hold here. We got to get to a break. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, a reminder again, we'll be at the NAB next week in Orlando, Florida. And while we are there, we'll try and file a few podcast reports and get with you guys on the goings-ons there in Orlando, Florida. That's next week. World-famous Phil Henry Show, and of course, online at philhenryshow.com. You guys can check out our podcast tomorrow, our video cast tomorrow, as well as our classic podcast. All kinds of stuff always happening at philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here. Final few minutes of our show this Friday night, and we have been enjoying Raj Fanin. We also had Vernon Dozier checking in. Bobby Dooley was with us as we discussed the Middle East, and it always gets down to the same thing when we're talking about stuff like that. It gets down to just kind of being stupid, you know.
Well, I don't think that's quite fair, but you do have a fair number of imbeciles that we'll call. But I don't find that any... Well,
you don't find it what?
See, you think it's like a lot of talk radio.
I'm going to say it. Yes, it's like a lot of talk radio. And that man, Vernon, if you're listening, dear, if your penis pump broke,
All right, Margaret.
Well, I don't know what to say.
What are you talking about, penis pump?
He sounds like he's got a lot more going on than just the fact that he's frustrated over the way of the camel. I think that there is a lot of updating that needs to be done in terms of the mindset of the American male. And as long as I have your attention, I'm beginning to feel it a little bit. I'd like to say this. Tiptoe through the tulips. You remember this one, Phil?
Yeah, what's this got to do with...
Hold on. I was just talking about this with CJ. Tiny Tim lived in Kansas City the same year that I did. CJ used to have regular cocktails with Tiny Tim, along with other colleagues. And so... With that in mind, and the problem we just had with Raj Fanin and his loudmouth, yes, his dirty, filthy little brat of a son, but I will put that aside, and Vernon with his dysfunction, I say, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, oh, tiptoe through the tulip.
Hold on for a minute, because we got phone calls now. People are burning up the lines here. Hold on.
I'm not done yet.
Hold on. You got a guy... Vernon, you know...
Hey, let me say something to the lady. Is that you? Is Margaret there?
I was singing a song.
Yeah, I heard your song, and I heard the whole penis pump crack. That's real good. And that's very funny. But let me ask you a question, Margaret. If you want to talk about my penis pump, just how many gallons of lube does it take?
All right.
I tried to tell him not to say that, but he did.
We're not going to have any of that.
How many gallons of lube? Vernon, if you're listening, this is Margaret. I'll meet you anywhere, anytime, any weapons, you choose them.
Oh, will you take it easy? This isn't some 18th century duel, okay?
I'm not kidding. If you're listening, Vernon, anywhere, anytime.
So what does that mean?
Just, I'm betting that old man's got a heart problem. I'll bring it, and it'll take 30 seconds before he's choking on his own blood.
Good God!
Well, I'll tell you. There's something wrong with you, Margaret.
There is, ever since you come back up from the weekend last weekend.
Yeah, what were you doing last weekend?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Whatever that means.
I'm just telling you, Vernon, what I would...
Boy, you are in a mood.
I gotta get out of here. I gotta get some air. What are you laughing at?
Nothing, nothing. Not laughing at anything.
I think she's all pissed off and everything like that, man. Sorry, I'll call up Frank.
Frank's been dealing with that his whole life. You can't really even call up Frank.
Yeah, Frank knows what to do. He'll probably just give her a good rogering.
Will you watch your language, please?
No, 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 what does that mean?
I don't... They may know what it means. Give her a good rogering.
Yeah, that's what the guy said.
Just take it easy, okay? That's an old school term. Oh, God, here she comes.
Yeah, here she comes. What did he just say?
I'm not repeating it.
Well, I heard what you said. So you think that's what Frank's going to do, huh? Just throw me on my back when I get home.
What, does it sound interesting?
Maybe.
There she goes again. All right, Dan Rather, I want to speak briefly about. I just saw Dan Rather on TV. You guys know who Dan Rather is?
No.
You know who he is?
No.
You guys don't know who Dan Rather is?
No.
Well, Dan Rather was the host of CBS News.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just saw Dan Rather on TV giving a speech, and I'm not giving a speech, but he was making some comments about Syria, and I was wondering, wouldn't it be great to see another book from Dan Rather, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it with you guys? You want to give me a little, so you never heard of him?
I never heard of Dan Rather, man. Who is he?
I just told you, he's a cat that was on TV. Well,
but a lot of guys been on TV. A guy be on TV. What'd he do on TV?
I got done telling you that the guy was a news guy. He used to be big. Huge.
I never heard of him.
Well, I think what Dan Rather, and this is just my opinion, all right? And maybe you have your opinion. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. I think really that what Dan Rather could do that would help him would be a book. And I think anybody would love to see a Dan Rather book that would...
I'm sorry, Mr. Hall said.
Mr. Hall said.
Yeah, he said. He thought in on that.
I think Dan Rather writing a book... Get him on the phone.
He's probably over at the donut shop.
Get him on the phone.
Well, what if he's good buying a donut?
Get him on the phone.
All right, just calm down, Phil. Calm down.
Do you want me to calm down?
Yeah.
Then turn those crickets off.
The cricket's supposed to soothe you.
The crickets are not soothing me.
Crickets are very soothing in a lot of cultures.
Is that right? Turn them off before I kill someone. There, that's how soothing they are. If you kept those crickets going any more than they were going, I would have committed homicide. Is that him?
Yeah.
David.
Yeah, I think the crickets, Phil, look, I know what you're going to say, all right? And I've been standing in line at a Cinnabon, so don't start in on me.
That's great. You're standing... How many donuts does this woman eat?
That's not a donut. It's a cinnamon bun.
All night long, every night that I talk to you, you're on the way to a donut. You're coming back from getting donuts. She's eating donuts. Where is she?
Who's she?
I'm sorry. Where's Daphne?
In the car.
Is she eating donuts?
None of your business. But the answer is yes, but it's none of your business. Now, I'm talking about you right now. I'm not talking about me or donuts.
But you happen to be in line at a Cinnabon.
How do you know?
Because you told me!
Well, the point that I'm making here, Phil, is that when you start in on Dan Rather should write a book, oh, man, you're really hitting it out of the park. I told Bud to go to the crickets when that happens. Now, you know that I don't want to do that. You know that that is an emergency tactic. But I said to Bud, when he starts getting into his old broadcaster mode and bemoaning the, you know, how things used to be, man, hit the crickets like, hold on to the cricket, Bud. The cricket is your friend. Love the cricket.
Yeah, he said that you should too, Mr. Henry. Live in the cricket.
Live within the cricket, Phil, because that's what you're making the rest of us do.
So I was bringing up Dan Rather, a very respected journalist, a man who for many, many years was at the top of his game. Oh, man.
Are you kidding me or something? Knock it off with the Rather. Now, here she is. Hold on. How many do you want?
There's a couple of them.
Well, there are two of them, honey. Hold on, Phil. Two of them. One of them, two people have to eat. They told me already. I went up and asked the guy. He said you need two forks, probably three, for one. And you want how many?
I want three.
Why do you want three?
One for me.
You want two and one for me.
Okay, can I do my show?
Yeah, I didn't know we were on the air. I was just telling her.
All right, so thanks very much, David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication for our show. And, Bud, you make sure you go to the cricket, man, if I ever
That's Mr. Hall told me, and that's the thing that I believe it ought to be done.
Isn't that a fantastic, just groovy piece of original thinking, man? World-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray, all of our guests for this evening. Really appreciate it. We will be talking at you guys via podcast next week on our website, philhenryshow.com, and also via podcast from the NAB in Orlando, Florida. God bless. We'll see you guys when we come back. Only a few short days, and then we'll be back in the saddle again.